The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Morning, children. I have quite a few items, but they're all for one purpose, I assure you. So, on this paper plate of mine, I have a red heart and a pink heart. Let me show the congregation if they can see. Perfect. So, this little red heart has a lot of tape on it because this red heart belongs to us. Now, on this side, it seems like a normal red perfect heart. Let me show the congregation if you can see. And on the other side, there's tape. Someone asked me, why is there tape on one side? Someone asked me. Yes, it does. But ask me why there's tape on this side. Why is there tape on this side? Because Nicholas was a not-so-good Christian this past week. So for every little sin that I committed, there was a little heart poked in. There was a hole poked in God's heart. So this is what Nicholas did. Don't tell anybody. Let me see if the cops are around. I did 41 in the 30. Don't tell anyone. Broke the law. What else? This is going to hurt a lot. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell my child, okay? I went inside her room because I know where she keeps her candy, and I stole it. And then she asked me about it, and Shelby, do you know what I said?
I didn't steal it.
And then she asked me, are you sure you didn't steal it? And I said, yeah, I'm positive. And I opened up her Snickers bar right in front of her. So as you can see, for every wrong thing that I'm doing, I'm poking a hole in the heart. And let's see, what else did I do? So we lied, we sped, and what else did we do? Oh, yes. My wife told me to please make up the bed. You know what I did? I didn't do it. And then she asked me again, did I make up the bed? And I said, yeah. But I actually paid one of my children to do it because I didn't want to do it. So as you can see, all the lies and me being lazy and me breaking the law has led to this kind of heart where there's holes in it. I haven't honored my wife. I haven't honored my kids. I'm lying. I'm not being a very good dad. I'm being a very terrible Christian. But today, Pastor Tim started his service by saying, we confess our sins, the ones that we know we've committed, and the ones we have unknowingly committed. So by confessing our sins, and later in the sermon, at the end, Pastor Tim will serve us communion. And when we serve communion, we confess our sins. This is what happens. This heart that is once full of holes does not matter because Jesus' heart covers my heart. Jesus' blood covers all my sins. So let us thank God that he covers all sins, for without him we would be dead and useless. It is the second to the last week of school, right? Am I correct? All right. And for these seniors, they have 10 more days, and they're done with high school, and they go on to their next step, which is college. So let's pray about them. Put your prayer hands together. Dear God, thank you for these kids up here Thank you for letting them have a school year and amazing teachers and have good memories with friends. God, thank you so much for the school year that you have provided for our seniors. Let their last 2 weeks be filled with joy and hope. No surprise tests, no surprise projects. Everybody graduate safe, and may you be with them on their next journey to college. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson reading for today is a story that takes place on that night that we know of as Maundy Thursday, the time that Jesus spent that last evening, that last supper with his disciples. What has happened already on that night before we come to our reading for today is that Jesus has washed their feet, and then he also predicted that one of his disciples would betray him. And so our story opens up today with when he had gone out, and that is a reference to Judas, who is leaving to betray Jesus. Things have been set in motion here. It's already starting to move. This is the last time that Jesus sits down to eat with his disciples here before he is crucified. But he still has a few more things to say to his disciples. He gives them one last command, and that last command is, as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. You too are to love one another. Things were set in motion. It was about to happen. Judas has just left. He's gone to the chief priest to betray him, to let them know where Jesus is going to be so that they can arrest him. Soon after the meal here, Jesus and his disciples go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays, and then he is arrested. He is put on trial. He is condemned. He is beaten. He is tortured. He is hung on the cross to die, and he does die. He is buried, and then on the third day, he rises from the dead. All this is just about to take place here, but he gives that one last command. As I have loved you, love one another. And to understand that command, you have to understand Jesus. How did Jesus love us? If you go through his ministry and see, who did he minister to? Who did he love? How did Jesus love? You see that Jesus ministered to children. He ministered to the elderly. He ministered to middle age, to the young. He ministered to those who were like him, who were Jewish. He ministered to those who were not Jewish. He ministered to men. He ministered to women. He ministered to the rich. He ministered to the poor. He was there for those who were with power. He was there with those who had absolutely no power and were outcast. Jesus ministered to everyone. He cared for everyone. He loved everyone. And so as he makes this command, as I have loved, you too are to love one another. It's an impossible command for us. But that is what we still strive for. We strive to follow this command. And I think maybe the closest thing here on this corrupt earth that comes the closest to this is maybe the love of parents for their children, that love of family. Because parents, good parents, are willing to do just about anything for their children. The sacrifices that they make for their children, whether it's giving up a career or postponing a career, of giving up the things you love to do, of maybe going hunting, fishing, playing golf, or cooking, baking, all those things that you really love to do, visiting with friends, traveling, a lot of that is sacrificed so that you can be home with your children. To learn how to discipline, to take care of giving hugs, telling your children that you love them, supporting them. All the things that parents do and are willing to do to raise their children to be loving people. To parents giving up their Sunday mornings to be here with the family, here in worship and in Sunday school, teaching their children about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That love that parents have for children is probably one of the closest things we have to following this commandment. As I have loved you, you too are to love one another. But it's nearly impossible to do that. I mean, look at the world today. Look at the state of the world is in today. There's people out on the streets protesting right now for abortion causes or for pro-choice causes. People are angry. They're shouting at each other. There's a war going on in Ukraine. Russia has invaded Ukraine. People are being killed. They're being murdered. Robberies are going on. People are just angry. They're upset. They're shouting. They're yelling. They're issuing violence against one another. We do not recognize this commandment. We don't see it. As I have loved you, you too are to love one another. It's almost impossible for us. But one of the things Jesus doesn't say here is that you should agree with one another. We are never going to agree with everybody. And if we only look to love like-minded people, we're going to have a very narrow group. I look, for instance, at the people Jesus called to be his closest disciples, those 12. He called a tax collector and he called a zealot, two people completely on the opposite end of the political spectrum. The zealot was one who was saying, by all means, by all costs, by any method, we need to get rid of the Romans out of our country. The tax collector, on the other hand, was collecting taxes for that very same Roman government. Opposite extremes. How well do you think they agreed with each other or got along with each other? Or he called an apostle, a disciple who was impetuous, who was bold and strong-headed and just blurted out whatever he thought. And that caused controversy within the group. Another disciple that he called doubted who he was or what he had done. Another disciple was one who betrayed him. And then he called two brothers who were so boisterous, so loud, so rambunctious that he called them the sons of thunder. This was Jesus' inner circle. This was his group. And at times they were bickering with one another. Who is the most important? And yet Jesus calls them into service. He calls them as his tight-knit group. He doesn't call us to agree with one another, but he calls us to love one another. And so how can we do that? How can we do that? A lot of times when we disagree with people, we label them. Oh, that's a liberal. Oh, that's a conservative. That's somebody who's different from us. That's somebody with a different background. That's somebody with a different race. And we label them of who they are. Oh, they're rich. They're poor. We don't want anything to do with them. We label them. We label them, and we don't see them as God sees us. Because God sees us as his child. He created us in his image for us to love one another as Christ has loved us, is to see other people as God has seen us and as God sees us. To see each one who has been created lovingly by God. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with them. It does not mean that we have to condone their behavior. But at the same time, we are still to love them. Because they, if they are outside the kingdom of God, they are a potential child of God who can come into this kingdom. There is so much friction in the world. Even within churches, there are frictions. I mean, just the fact that we have Catholics and Orthodox and Presbyterians and Baptists and Episcopalians and Methodists and Lutherans and Independents states to the fact that we don't agree with each other. There is something different that we either highlight out of scriptures or different ways that we just can't come to an understanding exactly our theology perfectly. But that still does not mean that we cannot love one another. Even within the United States, I think there are at least 16 different Lutheran church bodies here within the United States. There's always something that we're going to disagree over, but that does not mean that we cannot love one another. A perfect example of how not to agree with somebody and yet still love them is actually in our first lesson for today. That story with Peter and Cornelius. Peter gets a vision from God, has a vision from God of animals coming down from heaven, animals that are forbidden for the Jewish people to eat, coming down from heaven. He has that vision three times, and then the voice says that people will come and get you and take you to Caesarea. And at the same time, Cornelius, a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, has a vision. Go send to Peter in Joppa and have him come and hear the story. And those people do come and get Peter and take him to Caesarea. And he tells them the story of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit fills the place. And Cornelius is baptized. A wonderful thing, something new that happened. But when Peter gets back to Jerusalem, they call him to the carpet. They want to know, what's going on? Why did you eat with Gentiles? Why did you mingle with them? They're not God's people. Why did you eat with them? This highlights the first controversy, the first big controversy in the early church. Think about it. One side is saying that if you want to be a Christian, you must first become Jewish. Think about it. Jesus was Jewish. All 12 of his disciples were Jewish. And most of all the early Christians were Jewish. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized. Those 3,000 people were people who had come from many different countries, had come together in Jerusalem for a festival. And when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and went out into the streets and told the people the story in their own languages so they could hear, they believed something new was happening. But all those people were Jewish. All the early Christians were Jewish. And so it was a natural thought. Well, in order to become Christian, you must be Jewish first. And that's why they called Peter to the carpet. Why they wanted to question him. What are you doing eating with Gentiles? So Peter tells them the story. He tells them about the vision that the Holy Spirit sent to him. He told them about the vision that the Holy Spirit sent to Cornelius and what happened when they got together. Cornelius never became Jewish before he became Christian, before he became a believer. He never had to become Jewish. And when Peter tells that story to the Jewish leaders back in Jerusalem, they were silent. They were dumbfounded. They had no comment on it. Until finally, the Holy Spirit also entered them and they said, God is doing a wonderful thing, something new. And it settled the controversy that was going on. And there's a key there then. How do we disagree with someone and still love them? One thing is, first, look at them and see them as a person created in the image of God. as someone who is loved by God, who is lovingly created by God, and that God put them here on this earth. To look at him first like that. You can still disagree with him. Disagree with them respectfully. Listen to what they say, to what they have to say. Listen to their point of view. Two people shouting at each other are not going to accomplish anything. You need to listen to one another. Several things can happen if you listen to one another. One thing is, if you disagree with them, and after you've listened to them and listened to their story, if you still disagree with them, one of the things that does is, if it's something you disagree about with faith, it may actually increase your faith, make your point stronger, to know that, yes, what I believe is what I should believe. Another thing could happen if you listen to that person is they can have a new perspective on the same thing. You may learn that you actually are agreeing. Even if you're disagreeing, you may actually see that you are agreeing on many more points than what you agree on. And that you begin to have a clearer understanding, some new insight, a new direction. You never thought of it that way. And actually, you are actually agreeing rather than disagreeing. You're just coming at it from different angles. Or the other thing is that you realize I'm completely off base with my thoughts. And I've learned something new. A new thing is happening. As I have loved you, love one another. We are never going to agree with each other. We are never going to have the same point of view. But yet, we still look at one another as children of God, as people who need that redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Of those people, we are the people who need Christ, who has gone to the cross and died for us, who has shed his blood, who has given us everything he has, who has loved us totally. We need that Christ. We need to see that resurrection, that even in the midst of our turmoil, even in the midst of all the horrific things that are happening in this world and what we do to one another, we can still have love for one another simply because God first loved us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.